Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 tonight. And this will be the most unusual message in the Ten Commandments series I'll preach, and the one I had the most difficulty with. But we're not going to skip over it. We're going to preach it tonight. And so Exodus chapter number 20. When I started this series, I knew this would be the hard one. All the other ones I had thoughts and directions I knew where probably I could go and preach and deal with. But this one I had a hard time with simply because y'all don't look like a bunch of murderers. I mean, looks can be deceiving, but I've been around you a little while on. I don't think we have any Jeffrey Dahmers or anybody like that in here, all right? But we're going to preach it because it's in the Bible. And it's the next one in our series, amen? So Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 13 tonight, we're going to deal with the sixth commandment. The Bible says, Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, four words tonight, thou shalt not kill. And Vonda, I hope you get this tonight because I know you've... Never mind. I'm just kidding. That's how I felt when I got this commandment. I said, now, Lord, it's Wednesday night for one thing. And number two, if you're there on Wednesday night, good chance... And there might be somebody here tonight that's lost, but it's a good chance everybody's saved. And I pretty much know everybody here. And I know... I don't think anybody has seen, you know, killing anybody. I mean, I like everybody, but I don't think we're going to kill anybody. But I want to maybe, so it might be a little more teaching tonight, and this might be the shortest message in the series, but I want to deal with this commandment tonight, thou shalt not kill. We've been dealing with these commandments for a little while now, and we are over halfway, at the halfway point in this series, and we mentioned that the first four commandments, well, let's pray before I get into it. I need the Lord's help with this tonight. Lord, we love you tonight because you first loved us. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for these good testimonies tonight we've heard. Lord, it's been encouraging to my heart. And Lord, just hearing people testify about how this Bible, the Word of God, has encouraged them and helped them, instructed them, or how it's even corrected them in their life. I thank you for that. And I pray, Lord, that you would use this verse of Scripture, Lord, even though it's unusual, Lord, it's the Word of God. And Lord, it's applicable to us tonight. Lord, we can get admonition, we can get instruction from this tonight. So God, I pray you help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we said, the first four commandments deal with man's relationship with God. And it's interesting to note, remember that rich young ruler, when Jesus asked him, have you kept all the commandments? He said, well, yeah, and he named the commandments, but he only named the six that dealt with his fellow man. He did not have his relationship with God right. And you can be right down here, but not right up there. Amen. And so, as we started 2 weeks ago with honor thy father and thy mother, and of course, Brother Mike and Miss Sherry's last week. And then tonight we're dealing with the commandment, thou shalt not kill. Now, I want to study this commandment tonight in three different ways, and really the first one will be the longest one. But I want to look at it three different ways. I ate some Popeye's chicken. It's dried my mouth out tonight, so you have to pray for me, all right? We need a Popeye's in Salisbury. I need to take somebody to make a motion on that. They're not better than Chick-fil-A, but I do like that Popeye's chicken, all right? But we're going to deal with it in three areas tonight about this commandment, thou shalt not kill. First of all, I want to deal with the contextual explanation. What is it saying in the text? What does it mean? So as a preacher, it's pretty simple. Thou shalt not kill. Well, you know, people twist the Bible all the time. There are people, I was reading, studying this last week and some this week, there are people that will take this verse and they will teach that it is wrong for you men to go out hunting and kill Bambi to eat him. They'll say that's wrong because the Bible says thou shalt not kill. That's what they say. They're wrong, but that's what they say. They'll also take this verse and teach that war is wrong. They will say that it is wrong for Christians to go to war. Some of years ago, I got a book in my office entitled Sergeant York. And Sergeant York was a great serviceman during the First World War. And he was drafted into the war, but he was very hesitant. He was actually from East Tennessee. And some of you might have seen the movie Sergeant York. It's an old movie, black and white movie. And Sergeant York was hesitant to go to war because he didn't think that Christians should kill people. And this is one of the verses that he used, thou shalt not kill. But later on, a preacher, after he got saved, a preacher taught him from the Word of God. And he became one of the most prolific snipers and had the most kills in World War I of our servicemen. And he was awarded greatly for his service and for his valor in war. This commandment is not teaching that you can't go shoot a deer to make the preacher some deer jerky. That's not what it's teaching, amen. It's not teaching that you cannot go to war. It's also not teaching that we're against capital punishment. It's not what it's teaching, all right? God is not against killing when it comes to three areas. First of all, when it comes to provision. You know what he told Peter in the book of Acts, chapter number 10, verse number 13, one of my life verses, rise, kill, and eat. It's hard to kill an asparagus. Amen. It's hard to kill a cucumber, amen. He laid out all that meat before him and says, Peter, kill it and eat it. And Peter said, all right. He argued with a little bit, but I mean, after the Lord's telling you, go ahead and kill it and eat it, he did, all right. And so, and there might be a vegetarian in here, and if you don't like meat, that's fine, but don't be mad at me because I like meat, all right. I've got a biblical mandate. We see this illustrated all through Scripture where men would hunt and kill animals. Now, I don't believe y'all just kill animals for the pleasure of killing. I believe it's important that you, whatever you kill, unless it's a snake, whatever you kill, then you need to try to, or a possum or a raccoon. Some people like eating possums and raccoon. Help yourself, but I'd prefer eating deer meat or something like that, amen. But God is not against killing when it comes to provision. God is also not against killing when it comes to punishment. Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. These words are on the basis for modern capital punishment, which is not taking the life of another person, but rather forfeiting the right to life in society by violating the laws of the land. I believe in capital punishment. I believe you do the crime, you need to do the time. I tell you, it sounds a little cruel and a little heartless, but I tell you, if they go back to having public hangings, the crime rate would go down. Amen. You know what they done to those people that shot Abraham Lincoln? They hung them publicly. Did you know that there was a woman hung? She was in that whole planning, and they hung her publicly. Ain't nobody killed a president much since then, have they? Except for Kennedy. And that's another story in itself, all right? But punishment, God's not against that. In Exodus 21, it talks about several things that were worthy of death. Now, we understand we're not under the law anymore. We're under the grace of God. But over there in Luke chapter 23, those malefactors on the cross, remember when that one was railing on the Lord Jesus? And the other one turned down and said, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. He said, we are dying because we deserve to die because of what we've done. So don't let somebody come up and say, well, if you're for capital punishment, then you're not Christ-like and you're not in the Bible. Well, this man said, we'll get what we deserve. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And then God is not against killing when it comes to protecting or protection. You know, there are bleeding heart levels that are saying, and you've got them now wanting to turn it. I mean, Lord help, they have taken Elmer Fudd's gun. How's he going to get that wascally wabbit? Somebody said they got rid of his gun and gave him a walk. A walk so he can get the wabbit. You'll get that after a while. We need justice for Elmer. And Yo Sammy Sam, I mean, boy, how am I going to blast you? Them liberals can't stand that. And I told somebody the other day, I said, first it's Elmer's gun, and they're coming after your gun, amen? And Elmer couldn't even hit his target. But here's my point. God's not against you defending yourself. You know, in 1 Samuel 17, there's a big old giant running his mouth. David shows up and said, what shall be done to the man that killeth this giant? God didn't rebuke David for that statement. In fact, God helped David kill the giant. There's a scripture I forgot to mark, and I'm hoping I can find. Oh, here it is, Luke chapter 22, verse number 35. And he, speaking of Jesus, said unto them, when I sent you without a purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said nothing. He's speaking to his disciples. Then he said unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it. And likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Jesus looked at his disciples and said, if you ain't got a sword, go sell your garment and buy one. Yeah, and he wasn't talking about the Bible either. That's exactly right. There's people who say, well, he's talking about the Bible. Oh, Lord help us. For I say unto you, verse 37, that this is written that you must be recompensed in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. He's not even against you having two of them.
And all the men should say amen with their wives sitting there. Say, the Lord said I could have multiple. Amen. Brother David Epps said, he told his wife the other day, I heard him tell the story the other day. He said, years ago, his wife said, we need to take our little boy to Disney World. He said, I can't afford it. She said, I've seen that money that you're squirreling away in your wallet. He said, that's my gun money. She said, you've already got a gun. He said, I saw a bigger gun. Amen. And so God is not against you defending yourself. And I believe, I know this is not an issue here, but I believe everybody agrees with me. If somebody comes in my house unwelcome, they might come in, but we're going to blow them out. Yeah. Amen. One fellow said, I hope their mama can identify them by the bottom of their feet because we're going to blow their head off. Amen. That is, somebody said, that's hard and cruel. They come in my house after my family. I don't know about you, but I'm not letting the world come in and take everything God's given me and God bless my family with. Amen. That's exactly right. Out down there in Lakeland, Florida, that sheriff got up. He said, I've instructed our citizens that if you go in their neighborhood and you come in, for them to blast you out. I said, would he come to North Carolina and run for governor? Amen. I like that myself. Amen. God's not against that. God believes in war. In fact, in Revelation 19, when he comes back riding on that white horse, you know what Revelation 19 said? The Bible said in verse 11, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon it was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And he's going to win. Now, if you don't like guns, that's fine. I believe they need to be put up with the kids. You know, I understand precautions, all that kind of stuff. But we like them around here. That's why these men sit up here. Because they can see what you can't see. Amen. And we've got things in place. They can see through those back doors. Because we don't want somebody to come in and start blasting. Amen. And we'll just put it, I was going to say this. If we ever say get down, duck, we don't mean there's a duck flying through here. We mean get on the ground. Yeah. Amen. Because we believe in, amen, I better leave that alone. I'm on the internet. But I'm just saying we're going to defend this church. Yeah. And we're going to defend the people in this church. Yeah. The man down in Texas last year needs to be heralded as a hero. Yeah. That man walked in, started shooting people, and that man pulled his gun out and he took care of business. Yeah. That's exactly right. Amen. God's not against that. God's against killing when it's for pleasure. The word kill here is the word for murder. That's what the word is. To kill someone in murder, you have to have anger, animosity, an agenda. You're an adversary. You take your arms. You take advantage. You're avenging yourself. You attack and you annihilate. Somebody said, preacher, you know about murder and all this? Well, I'm going to tell you who the murderers are in 2020. The abortion clinics. Thou shalt not kill, I believe it applies to the abortion clinics. Abortion is murder and is condemned by God in this commandment. I understand everybody agrees with me, but I'm going to preach it anyway, all right? I'm studying this today. The total number of abortions in the U.S. from 1973 to 2018 were 61.8 million plus. You know what the population of North Carolina is? About 10.49 million, 10.5 million roughly. They have annihilated our state over six times. 186 abortions per 1,000 births, according to the CDC. U.S. abortions in 2017, 862,320 lives. Abortions per day, 2,362 plus. Abortions per hour, 98 plus. One abortion every 96 seconds. 13.5 abortions per 1,000 women aged 15 to 44. What is a 15-year-old doing even having a baby? And did you know these stats only include medical and surgical abortions? Not even the ones that were done in a room somewhere that were not on the record. And yes, that does happen in America. Planned Parenthood and all its mess. It's exactly right. Now I have to be careful here because I told you I won't get political. But I am going to say a few things. In 2004, They cited 2004 and 1987 surveys found that the main reason women cited for ending pregnancies and abortions, because having a baby would dramatically interfere with their education, work, or ability to care for dependents, or they could not afford a baby at a time. All about me. I'll be careful in my words here, but you should have thought about that before. Amen. Amen. And by the way, if you can't take care of a baby, there are hundreds and thousands of couples that cannot physically have a baby that would willingly take that baby in their home and raise him for the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. In 2019, the Democratic Virginia governor, it's the Democratic Virginia governor, Ralph Northam, said the third trimester abortions are done in cases where there may be severe deformities. Well, I think he's deformed. There may be a fetus that is non-viable. So in this particular example, if a mother is in labor, he said, I will tell you exactly what will happen. Northam is a pediatric neurosurgeon. And he told a Washington radio station, the infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. Now notice he called it a fetus. Now he's calling it an infant. Yeah. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. So basically, they delivered the baby, laid the baby on the table, and they said, all right, what do you want to do with him? You want to kill him? You want to let him live? It's exactly what he said. You have to be possessed with a demon to believe that. And the state of Virginia needs to vote his hide out. Amen. In June of 19, North Carolina, Democratic Governor Roy Cooper vetoed the Born Alive bill. And the bill, what you know what this bill taught? That if an abortion was botched, in other words, that when the doctor tried to abort the baby and the baby was born alive, the bill would mandate that doctor would have to give that baby medical attention. But he vetoed it. So he needs to be voted out. Somebody said, I don't think y'all ought to get in politics. Oh, it's too late now. He needs to be voted out. If you don't vote, you need to register this year to vote Roy Cooper out. Democrat president nominee Joe Biden on abortion, he said if elected, he would codify Roe versus Wade into federal law and restore federal funding to Planned Parenthood, who were selling baby parts. And let me just say this right here, and I've been real quiet about the whole riots and all that kind of stuff, but I'm about tired of hearing Black Lives Matter, and I'm tired of hearing All Lives Matter. The only life that mattered, they crucified him 2,000 years ago on a cross. That was the only life that mattered. I'm tired of people saying, well, all lives matter. The only life that mattered was Jesus Christ. I know that messes up your mentality and that messes up your little Facebook hashtag, but the only life that mattered was Jesus. Because he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. So if you're not saved, your life really, you have no life. Don't give me all lives matter. But if the Black Lives Matter community really cared about Black Lives Matter, they would do something about Planned Parenthood. That was started by a woman named Margaret Sanger, who designed the abortion clinics and Planned Parenthood to be planted in black neighborhoods. They're the racist. It's exactly right. Amen. Do the research. It's the truth. These people are murderers. Now, God can forgive a woman if she's had an abortion. God can forgive a doctor who's performed abortions. That's not the unpardonable sin, but they are murderers. The Apostle Paul was a murderer before he got saved. God, they can get saved, but I'm just telling you. By the way, both President Donald Trump and both Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest are anti-abortion. They're pro-life. So I'd encourage you to vote for them this year. Did you know that in 2018 in North Carolina, there were 628 murders in our state? One detective said about murders, that you can classify all murder motives in three areas: love, pride, and money. An unsaved police detective said all murders that take place are involved with love, pride, or money. That's the truth. I believe, and I know you're against abortion, but sometimes we just need to get mad about it. You know, they ought to thank God that their mama didn't believe in abortion. I mean, that's why I don't, and this is going to probably irritate not really anybody here, but that's why I don't go with people like Peter Ruckman. Peter Ruckman was King James only, but you know Peter Ruckman didn't believe in life at conception? He believed that life didn't begin until that baby started breathing. I don't care if he is King James only. He's wrong. He's a heretic. John the Baptist is in his mother's womb in Luke chapter 1. And when he heard Mary speak, he leaped in Elizabeth's womb. He was alive then. Amen. And he was, and if you don't know who that is, you ought to thank God you don't know who that is. And I told Mel he was wrong too, but Mel didn't believe that. Mel knew he was wrong. That was one of Mel's friends. But the contextual explanation is what thou shalt not kill is referring to murder. Now, quickly, I told you the first point be long is quickly. Number two, I thought like this would be a quick sermon, but y'all done, I done got mad while I was preaching. Amen. I got righteous indignation. I will say this, thank God all those little babies did go to heaven.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Thank God not one of them died and went to hell.
Right. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So there is the contextual explanation. Secondly, there is the corrupt revelation. These people in our society that abort babies and that kill people just for the pleasure of it, all these riots, killing police officers execution style, this Antifa, whatever it is, I appreciate our president, how he stood against that, and how he's fought against that, how he's continuing to stand against it. And I'm not trying to put a target on our church. We love people of all races, but there's never been an issue about that. We're not the racist. We're not the one painting the streets of Charlotte. Amen. All right, y'all, some of y'all are looking a little scared, like, preacher, they're watching. I hope they are. I'm just telling you, I'm telling you it's time that we stand up for truth. Here's my point. They all got upset about Mr. Floyd's passing. And I'm sorry the man died. But can I say this without being cruel? People die every day. Why aren't people getting mad about that young lady you told me about the other night? Why are they getting mad about the thousands of babies being aborted every year? Don't their lives matter? It's an agenda of the world to push what they want.
Yes, sir.
But if you say, if preachers preach, I know nobody's upset at me tonight because you're good people. But you preach like this, people get mad. We'll get hate mail, all that kind of stuff. Certain lives matter to them.
Yeah, right.
Virginia taking down Robert E. Lee's statue. He never owned one slave in his life, but Ulysses S. Grant, who is president and is on your $50 bill, owned slaves 8 years after the war was over.
Yep.
Amen. Oh, that's better. I have been behaving so much. Here's my point, though. Somebody said, well, preacher, these people must have trouble with life. These abortion clinics, these abortion doctors, they have trouble with life. They have an issue with life. They don't have an issue with life. They have an issue with the giver of life. When Adam, me and Brother Keith saw the other day, and I suppose it's been done by now. I ain't making Cracker Barrel tonight. When God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life and he opened his eyes, he didn't look at his hands first. He didn't look at his feet first. You know what he done? He looked into the face of God, who was the giver of life. They do not have a problem with life itself. They have a problem with the giver of life, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all eternity. The Bible said in John 6:33, for the bread of God which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. I'm not being critical, but where were the preachers? And I'm not saying they didn't stand, but when Roe versus Wade happened in 1973, where were the Christians? And I'm not saying we didn't fight. I don't know. I wasn't here. But my goodness, it seems like we've just got so accustomed to it. I mean, our state's population wiped out 6 times in abortions, murders, people killing for love, pride, and money. There is the contextual explanation, the corrupt revelation. They have a problem with God. But last of all, there's the Christian's application. The preacher, we're against abortion, we're against murder. What does that got to do with us? I'm going to tell you what it ought to do to us. It ought to teach us that life has been provided by God. Life is precious in the sight of God. Life has a purpose, and the purpose of life is honoring God.
But we also need to understand that life is quickly passing. James chapter 4 verse 14 says, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Realize tonight that without the Lord Jesus Christ, none of us would have life. Oh, we'd be breathing, but we wouldn't have life. Jesus said in John 10, I'm come that you might have life, salvation, and that you might have it more abundantly. That's a spirit-filled life. You know what? When we look at this commandment, and as I studied, I said, Lord, how in the world? We don't have no murders in our church. We don't even have nobody that likes. Everybody's against abortion. Everybody's against murder. How do we preach this to our people? He said, the same way you do every other sin. You expose it, and you tell people, God, I'll forgive it. God will forgive it. Because the Apostle Paul, you know what he did before he got saved? He walked in the churches, and he drug mamas and daddies out, and he killed them. But you know what happened one day on the Damascus Road? God knocked him off his donkey. And God saved him and changed his life. So I'll say this tonight. Murder is wrong. Killing is wrong in that regard. But I'm glad there's still no sin that the blood of Jesus Christ cannot wash away. I'm glad there's no sin so black that the blood of Jesus Christ cannot wash away. Thank God for that. I told you that'd be the most unusual one in this series, but I believe we needed to hear it tonight and be reminded of how precious life is. Thank God. Amen. Thank God he gave his life.